America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ask everyone to put their phones on silent for the duration of the meeting, please. Roll call vote.
What, just a roll call?
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't think we have to vote for that.
You haven't voted yet.
Sorry, Joe.
Yes. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lathrop?
Present.
Mr. Longton?
Here.
Mr. Maselli is absent. Commissioner Gladue is absent. Commissioner Terry?
Here.
3 out of 5, we have a quorum. Thank you very much. Moving on to item D. Are there any alterations to the agenda? Are there any alterations anyone wishes to make to the agenda? Hearing none, item E. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of January 6, 2025 regular meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Item F. Communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Does anyone have any communications to share with the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is an appropriate time, but I will just say that I submitted a communication to the General Assembly today on some testimony on a bill that would affect our ability to collect money and foreclose on liens for people that owe sewer, back sewer. I'll give you guys a copy of that. We also reached out, Derek reached out to his group, and I sent out a letter to them asking them to also testify. I think we ended up with about 15 or 17 people to testify against this bill, which I think inhibits our ability to collect money.
Thank you. Are there any other communications? Hearing none, moving on to item G. Are there any remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit? First call. Any remarks from the public? Second call. Third and final call. And remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda? Hearing none, report from operations. Derek, please.
Yes, this is Superintendent Albertson. And just briefly, we ended 2024 on a high note. We were able to comply with the general permit for total nitrogen loading in our effluent, and overall our process control during the 12 months was very good. We did have some struggles in the first quarter of the year because of rain, those January, February, March, but the team was able to recover and end the year on a good note. January is concluding as having a good month, and we're starting the year off very well. As indicated, we had a backup on Brewer Street, and it's on a property between Brewer and Lathrop, and it was a main sewer, and we were able to respond adequately, no property damage. We ended up jetting quite a bit and inspecting manholes. It was related to a grease plug that was in the sewer main. We jetted and flushed 1,600 linear feet of sewer main, and we inspected and confirmed a flow in 12 manholes.
Okay, was there any indication of the source of the grease plug?
No, we're not sure. I mean, if you go due west, there's a couple restaurants. The village apartments, we've had grease problems from that those apartments on occasion, and we have to pump out the pump station there on a routine basis.
The village apartments, that would be all residential?
All residential.
Right. Any questions for operations? Report from administration.
Not much to report other than that was already in the report. I will report that today we did get released the final $159,000 in funding from the $5 million grant, which was applied to the distribution box relining project. So that will go out to Savvy and Son. We'll finish then closing that contract out. We'll still close out the contract for the Stony Brook Bridge project. We're in contact with
Evan.
Two companies. One was company is called Resource LE. They do energy audits of the property, and Eversource. We put everybody together. So we're looking at some more energy savings projects for the plant, and we're hoping to look at battery storage and a new pump project that supplies the plant water to the plant, and it's a skid mounted system. Those pumps are running 24 hours a day right now. This will allow us to separate that off, and they'll run much more efficiently. So we have to run the calculations on those, and we'll see what we can get for an incentive on those. And that will be paid for by the electrical savings on bill. So we'll get back to you when we get the numbers on that.
What kind of battery storage are we talking?
They're basically like kind of like Connex containers with, you know, they're not lithium. It's a different type of battery. We'll have to see what they come back with to see if it, first they have to do a site evaluation. So they came out and they looked at whether or not we're an appropriate candidate for it. So they pay for everything. This is going to be turnkey for the authority, and they pay for everything for a 10-year period. So what we're looking for is to knock that demand charge down. So when the fuel cell goes offline or the power grid goes down, and we hit on generators, we're not getting that surge in demand charge from Eversource, because that's what's really killing us right now is the demand charge. We're not buying a lot of electricity from Eversource, but that demand charge, huge.
Okay. And once it's set, it doesn't go back down until next
exactly.
month.
Exactly, right.
Sets at the high
right.
point.
Absolutely, Commissioner. So if we can get that spike out of there, smooth that curve out, I think we'll be in very good shape. And it's free to us. They're doing all the evaluations for free.
Any further questions for the mayor? For operations,
Mr. Mayor.
Once a mayor, always a mayor. Mm-hmm. All right. Hearing none. Moving on to report from the mayor. Speaking of,
I got nothing.
No report from the mayor. Okay. Report from engineers, Derek.
To echo what Ron said, the administrator. Ron's done this before. I mean, we got a fuel cell at the plant that produces 90% of the energy for the plant itself. He also did the deal for, you know, or was instrumental in getting the deal from the, what's the farm where the solar energy?
Silverbrook
Farm, where they're going to use a large portion of that property for solar energy. That's going to go to the grid. But we had to be a receiver of that energy. And now with this battery storage, see, I thought it was old school batteries, but it's definitely high tech. And I was reading the paper, I think it was Saturday, the two utilities in the area, Norwich Public Utilities and Grand Utilities, just received grants, $356,000 to encourage energy conservation. So there's money out there to do these kind of things. And he's spot on with the you know, cutting the demand charge. It really does make a big difference. We use so much electricity, so it seems like, you know, 5% or 3%, but it really adds up quite a bit. I also wanted to reiterate, it's in the narrative, but we did have a good year for reduction in solids. So we have a solids management associated with the biological process of the plant, and the guys saved 3%. They reduced the overall solids by 3%, but it represents like $40,000 in savings. So it's, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there makes a big difference. So. And then just the last thing about engineering, we're going to be looking at projects for the upcoming fiscal year 2026. All of the that and the capital improvement and the budget will be put before the commission, I believe next month or the month after.
Probably we'll get it to you guys for April, but the next 2 months we're going to be spending working with the team to get that capital plan together. But we're going to try to see what incentives we can get from, you know, always better use other people's money if you can.
Speaking of using other people's money, any chance of us getting something like that, $356,000 energy conservation?
Well, it was NPU and Groton, so that's probably not going to do much for us.
Right, so that's what we're chasing with Eversource on the...
Okay.
With the energy consultant.
And if I may, again, we had about $5 million in grants. The administrator brought up that we closed out that grant. When I first started at the plant 6 years ago, we were in danger of that grant expiring. Ron was instrumental in getting a rollover. I don't know how many times.
Three.
But anyway, we were able to use that money to put in additional work at the chlorine contact chamber. We installed a grit removal chamber. Pumps put in, a better energy, more energy efficient pump for recycling water back to Rand Whitney. We replaced all the diffusers in all the tanks. Each tank has 1,440 diffusers, and we replaced the piping in each of the tanks. The project he was just talking about, the influent distribution boxes. So that $5 million went in a lot of different directions within the plant. Most of these are 20-year lifetimes or more, so it was pretty considerable. And that's it.
All that new equipment, has it been entered into some kind of a life cycle database so we know when to look at them again?
Not a formal one, but it is in our...
It's in our asset management plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Any further questions for either operations or administration?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. We have no old business. We have no new business. Reports and referrals from planning and zoning. I went to the last meeting, and there was nothing which directly affected us. There were several mentions of projects that were ongoing that are covered by SQUAW, but nothing for the WPCA. Moving on to Section 2, Water Commission. Report from operations. Eric.
Yes, this is the superintendent. Just real briefly, I know it's covered in the narrative, but and Ron was more active in this than I was, but we now have the lead copper rule revision data online in our GIS format. And Ron and I were talking about that. There's probably very few, if any, utilities that actually have that data available within a database like that. So we have a smaller system, but still, we were able to meet the October 2024 deadline for inventory of any potential properties with lead service. And that data, in turn, went immediately into the GIS stance format. And we're happy to report that.
We have any properties with lead pipes?
We had none.
Okay,
we're identified. Well. And that makes a lot of sense because we have a younger system. Generally, the younger the system, the less likely that you're going to have a lead problem. But there's more to come. There's more rules and regulations we have to follow. But we hit the first hurdle. And if the regulatory body should come in, we can easily retrieve that data because it's in the system. It's hardwired in the system. But we're not having any issues with operations of the water supply, and they did some flushing today.
Excuse me.
We did a water audit that was calculated today, and one of the things with water audit is we look at how much water we buy from Groton Utilities, and then we look at all the water that we sold. So that's water sold is billable water that's accounted for. And what we're really more curious about is the water that is unbillable, which water we may use as flushing or, you know, for routine flushing operations to keep sediment low in the lines, and the water that's unbillable and unaccounted for. And right now it's 8%, 8.34%. That's very low. The national average is about 16%. 8.34% is exactly where we should be.
Go ahead. Can I inquire on that for a second? When the fire department uses water, that goes unmetered also, correct?
It goes for unbillable, but we account for it because they give us an estimate of the water used.
Okay.
But it is an estimate.
Out of curiosity, somewhere on that issue, did the meters line up? Groton's meter and our meter? Have they calibrated those?
So, Commissioner, yeah. They,
I know they put one on the out and we put one on the in, so.
Yep, so they have. So what we talked about today, as a matter of fact, was reading it on the same exact date that they read it. They read theirs on the 23rd. We've been reading ours at the end of the month. So now that we have the capability to read ours on our own without having to drive to Gales Ferry and go get a read, we're going to read it not only at the end of the month, but we're going to read it on the 23rd to see how that matches up with exactly where kind of Groton's number is.
I'm curious how that works out.
It should be close. I mean, they're the same meter. They're going to be off, but they're not going to be, they shouldn't be way off.
Yeah.
Two meters, you can manufacture them identically and they're going to read different. You would think they wouldn't, but they do.
Just a point of information, we were talking about the lead survey. Freedom Village, which is not our responsibility, is having lead pipe problems, and they've had other problems before. They run their own facilities. Are there any of our lines that run near there?
No.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We don't even go past, you know, 163. I mean, almost pretty much Public Works is almost the end of the line going that direction. We have nothing going all that far. But I'll tell you what another issue is, and I would mention this. We have to do testing at people's source points. So we have, 20 people that we check, I forget the number exactly, that we have to check their faucets. We actually have to check the water, they have to run it, give us a sample. In fact, the town hall is one of those checkpoints. So what more or less happens is if there's lead in the faucets themselves or the connections going to the fixtures. It's not the lead line connections, it's not the service line coming into where our service area is. So it's past the meter. And we're still checking that, and you know, and you'll get a hit every now and then on that.
Possibly lead pipes in the house itself.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have an old, you know, just an old faucet. You know, say somebody has, you know, an old claw tub that they, you know, refurbished or whatever, and they want it and they put it in their house, and they use the old fixtures and everything. Those are lead.
Okay, but there's nothing we can do to. You know, there's nothing we're obligated to do.
No, except if they test positive, then we look into it further and we'll figure that out. Yeah. But we do test for that.
I was just wondering, as a point of inquiry, whether or not it might be feasible at some point in the future to run water line up there.
It's a whole other ball game, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Just raising the point.
Long run. Back we couldn't even get it to the high school.
Yeah. Back of the head thought, that's all. Okay. Report from administration for water.
I think the only thing I was going to add was that we do test for lead. The Cook Water Tower, the easements, that's still problematic. I've been in conversations and, dare I say, negotiations with two of the. We secured one. I'm still in negotiation with two of the parties.
What's their issue?
What's that?
What's their issue?
I think that would be a question for executive session.
Okay.
Or we can talk offline. I don't want to kind of throw that out in a public forum.
Yep.
But call me.
Okay.
We need to secure those easements. And they're Eversource easements. They're not even easements really for us. It's for us to be able
it's
to.
It's for Eversource. Yeah.
Yes. And the two properties aren't really even affected by where the work needs to occur. These are easements that Eversource desires to clean up their mess, I believe. So.
Any further questions? Moving on. Report from engineers, Derek.
I just wanted to add, this is kind of internal engineering, but one of the things that happened the last couple weeks is there's a close attention given to each of the ratepayers, and if there's suddenly a huge demand at a property for water, it becomes apparent. You know, either they call us because their bill is through the roof, or the reads are unusual. But we had a case like that. So there's this kind of, I just wanted to remind the commission that there is an inventory of demand for water. And if somebody does have a higher than usual demand, it usually jumps off the page. And it typically, like we haven't really found the problem for this one property. Maybe a leaking toilet, a running toilet. But it's shocking how much.
We found it.
Oh, you did?
We did.
Oh, that's great. I was really thinking about that this weekend. Because you never know sometimes. It could be, you know.
There were two, and one was a read where the system took the read, but it didn't subtract the old read. So it just put the new read as that was the whole usage. So this property's bill went from, it was normally averaging between $300 and $400 a month. This is an apartment building, and it went to almost $2,000 a month. We figured their bill, and it was $295. They were very pleased. The second one was this, it's a quarterly meter, and we looked at it and we saw it graphically because we started a new program. We, even if it's a quarterly read, we read every meter every month now so that we have that in our system so we can have a database of, you know, what's their real usage in case we have to estimate it, in case we want to see something wrong, you see something spike. And this was dramatic. I mean, it was boop, boop, boop. And then I said, okay, let's read it again. And it was, phew, again. They went to the house. They said, no, it's not leaking anywhere. I'm like, it only should be pumping out of the yard. I'm like, well, this is going through the meter. So it's after the meter. Something going on in the house, or we have a bad meter. I'll send the guys out on Monday. Well, I got a call this morning that, toilet was intermittent and the toilet was hung up and blowing through 41,000 gallons of water.
Incredible, right? You don't think it...
From a leaky toilet.
A month.
Leaky toilet, yes.
2 months in a row. I mean, that was a total usage, so that was, you know, minus a regular usage. But,
right.
But they found it. Yeah.
Regular maintenance on your toilet bowl.
But they looked, but it was intermittent. It was just hung up, you know, and somebody's hard of hearing. They don't hear it running through, and daughter went over. She heard it.
Okay. Glad it was found. Questions for engineering? Hearing none, we have no old business, and we have no new business. The last squad meeting went off. There was nothing that jumped out at us. It was an online Zoom meeting, and the only thing that touched the town of Montville really for us to be aware of is that the finalizing of the squaw purchase of the Oakdale Heights is still in limbo. It's hung up somewhere in Hartford, and it's still hanging there. But
Peoria has to approve the purchase.
Yes, and they just haven't done it yet. There is no valid reason why not that. We could see they just have not completed it.
If I could elaborate on that.
Yes.
I did meet with Senator Austin. This one completely slipped my mind.
I don't think your mic is on.
Test, test. There we go. How's that? Feel better? I did meet with Senator Austin and the squaw manager. I forget what his name is. Regarding some funding that the state might be able to provide for Squaw in the lines in the manor and the heights. And that issue about Squaw being the water authority in the Heights is, I was assured by Senator Austin that she was looking into it.
Thank you. All right, moving on to section three, remarks from the public with regard to the 3-minute limit. Going once, twice, three times, hearing none. Remarks from commission members? Dean?
No.
Kevin?
No, sir.
I have none except say thank you guys for coming out tonight. Operations, remarks?
Nothing on this end.
Administration?
Nothing on this end.
Mr. Mayor?
Sorry about the forgetting of the meeting with Senator Austin.
Thank you.
It was something.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned at
6:26, sir.
6:26. Thank you very much.